Thank you, Miss Vivian. We've come this far by faith. Lost my glasses somewhere. I did. Oh, thank you. My goodness. Some people over in this section understand what I'm dealing with. Thank you, Miss Vicky. That was just rich. We've been talking about faith the last few weeks, understanding how faith works. Today I want to speak about a seed and a mountain. Another message in the series, Understanding How Faith Works. We've talked about the seed and the soil. The seed being God's word, and the quality of the seed is always good. Whether a harvest comes from God's word, the seed, or not, is not determined about the seed, but it's determined by the condition of the soil. And we have to agree with it and accept it and become one with the word we hear, like the ground becomes one with a seed and produces a harvest. And then we talked about the adrenaline of the Spirit. Faith is the adrenaline of the Spirit. Faith comes to us as we hear, and hearing by the Word of God. So many times in the New Testament, when you see the word hear, you see it twice, not once. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus said, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And when God's word comes to us, we are to hear it. And in the Greek, it means hear it, and keep on hearing it until you gain understanding. So it takes the spirit of revelation to give us understanding as to how faith works. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that faith, the adrenaline of the Spirit, faith is to the believer what spinach is to Popeye. Take a believer with no faith, might as well be dead. But a believer who grows in their faith, hears and understands the Word of God, is a powerful force in the earth. And today I'm talking about a seed and a mountain. We're beginning with Matthew 17 and verse 20. Jesus said to his disciples, you don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. If you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible. Now, we'll glean from a phrase here, say to this mountain. The mountain refers to obstacles in your way, a challenge, a disability, a handicap, a curveball you were thrown. You didn't see something coming, and it's blindsided you temporarily. It is an impossibility. Whatever the mountain is you're facing, it looks impossible. How ridiculous the natural mind would think that it might move when you speak to it. But Jesus is telling us here that we speak to mountains. We speak to impossibilities, and we say, you're not that at all. You are so possible. And so we speak to the mountains in our life, and we tell the mountain what we've heard God say. Quickly, I want to move to Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 26. All of these words are written in red. Jesus spoke this to his disciples. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And then Jesus said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And verse 33, and with many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. God is speaking his word to us today. Are we able to hear? A seed and a mountain. We'll lift a few phrases quickly from these verses. First, it said, after a farmer scatters seed or sows seed in the ground, he sleeps by day and sleeps by night and rises by day. That phrase there shows us that there is a routineness of life we're all comfortable with. We get up, we power through the day, and at night we go to bed, only to wake up again and do the same thing tomorrow. We sleep by night and rise by day. That phrase refers to our routineness, our routine daily life. And from one day to the next, it may not be obvious that the seed is growing and will become greater than the mountain before long. Everything looks the same Wednesday morning as it did Tuesday morning. There's a mountain, an impossibility in front of us. We don't know how we're going to move this mountain in the natural. And we go to bed and get up and it's still there. And we go to bed and get up and it's still there. And we go to bed and get up and it's still there. It's the routine of life. But while we're sleeping and getting up day in and day out, just taking care of our routine, God is working on the seed. It has been sown. It does not remain small. It grows up and becomes greater. And the problem with the mountain is it will never get any bigger than it is. But the exciting thing about the seed is it doesn't remain small. It grows until one day the mountain is told to move. That's the struggle and the tension between the seed and the mountain you're facing. And then the phrase says, the man does not know how the seed grows. He knoweth not how. He planted the seed, then he went to bed and got up, went to bed again and got up, and he noticed, whoop, I see a sprout from that seed. And the Bible says, he knoweth not how. That's where all of us are, either right now or we were just there or we will be there this week. There's a mountain of impossibility. There's something we can't naturally do much about. It's out of our control. It's beyond our limits. It's an impossibility. But God is going to deal with it as our seed, as our faith grows. And the farmer does not know how. Listen, faith always requires not knowing how. If you knew how, you wouldn't need faith. You'd understand how. But faith kicks in when we have no understanding of how God's going to work this out. Sometimes faith requires not knowing when. You get up, go back to bed, still there. You get up again and Live another day and go back to bed, and the mountain is still, the impossibility, the threat is still looming over your life. How in the world God's going to get you out of the mess you're in? I don't know how. Faith is not limited to our understanding. Faith always requires not knowing how and not knowing when God is going to come through. And sometimes faith requires not knowing what and not knowing where. The farmer does not know how it's all going to work out, but he sees some growth from the seed. I believe in the sun, even though it doesn't always shine. And I believe in love, even though it's not always shown. And I believe God is at work, even though I can't always see what he's doing. I just believe he's working. And it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it when the mountain moves, when the impossibility crumbles and becomes a former thing. There's a story of a soldier in World War II in Europe, and gunfire was everywhere. Everybody's life was on the line. In fact, many had already been killed in battle. And one comrade in a unit was shot and severely wounded between the trenches. And somebody in his unit had it in their heart to go and get him and rescue him, bringing back into the trenches where he would escape further gunfire. And the commanding officer in that unit discouraged the soldier, said, "I understand he's one of us, but he's been shot and may be dead already. And if you try to go and get him, you will probably get shot yourself. It may not be worth the risk." But nevertheless, the soldier jumped from the trenches and went to the wounded comrade and brought him on his shoulders and crawled along the ground to get back to safety in the trench. And by the time they had gotten back in the trench, the soldier who was shot in battle had died. And the commanding officer said to the other soldier who went to his rescue, said, "I'm sorry that he's gone, but I didn't think it would be worth it for you to risk your life." And this soldier said, "Oh, it was worth it. Because when I got to him, he was still alive. And he said, 'Jim, I knew you would come.'" So we are going to hold on to what we know will work for us. Our faith in God. It's not all about seeing him move, how we want him to, when we want him to, but it's all about trusting him no matter what we see or don't see. The soldier said, "Jim, I knew you would come." What kind of trust was that? And then there's the phrase, first, then, and after that. There's the seed. It's disappeared in the ground now. It is sown in soil. And then first the blade comes up. And then the grain. And then after that, the full head of grain ready to harvest. But it's first, then, and after that. That's the faith journey right there. I look back over my life. You could look back over yours. There, there was first, and then, and after that. It's progressive. It's our faith. It's the growth of our faith. Let me ask you, first, then, and after that, have you ever thought about your faith being a growing thing? Do you have more faith today than you did a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? I'll just say faith grows. It's like that seed. It's small, but it doesn't stay small. It grows and becomes greater. And our faith should be a growing thing. The least amount of faith you should ever have in your life is the day you were born again. Think about it. You were lost, and then you responded to the good news. You had enough faith in your heart to say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for me. And he is the way for me to be connected with God the Father. You had that much faith. That should be the least amount of faith you ever have in your life. As we mature as believers, our faith should be a growing thing. It starts out as small, the smallest seed in the earth, a mustard seed. But after it grows first, and then, and after that, before it's over, it's a huge tree that provides shade for the birds of the air. And so that's the way our faith is. It is a growing thing. A mustard seed is a tiny beginning. Sometimes God begins to do things in our life that when it begins, it seems so inconsequential. Well, this don't matter today. This never will matter. Oh, no. Don't despise a small thing, especially when it's the word. It may be a faint word. It may be a soft voice speaking, but if it's God's word, how we hear it and embrace it and accept it and go to work with it will determine everything about our future. Our faith is a growing thing, and it starts as the smallest thing in your life, but it shouldn't stay that way. Do not be discouraged by small beginnings and slow growth. I could write a book about the times in my life I've been tempted to be discouraged because of small beginnings and slow growth. But God loves to start small. One of my favorite sayings, I've given it to you so many times, I hate to repeat myself again, but it's that good. And it goes like this. When God wants to do something great, he starts with a difficulty. But when God wants to do something truly magnificent, he begins with an impossibility. Our God loves to start small. Gideon had 3,000 men in his army. And God said, that's not small enough to start. So the army was reduced to 300 men. And God said, that's small enough now to get the job done. God starts small. And the seed compared to a mountain is such a small thing. What can this little seed do about that huge mountain? Give that seed some time. Honor that seed. Embrace that seed. Go to work with that seed. Have your faith in that seed. It is God's word. The seed is his word. And that seed will not remain small. It grows up. I love this part of the story. It does not remain small. The King James says, it groweth up and becometh greater. That's how God works in our lives. Sometimes God will begin something in your life and it's like a snowflake. You can barely feel it when it hits you. It didn't get you soaking wet all at once. It was just a light touch, barely noticeable, inconsequential, never amount to anything. Nothing much will come of this, we might think. But honor the seed. Hear the word. Keep hearing it until you gain understanding of what God is saying. And that small seed will not remain small. It grows. Your faith is growing. Your faith is growing right now because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But we want everything to happen suddenly. I'm preaching to the right generation on this. We want drive-through, microwave, instant. I remember when if you wanted to send a letter to somebody, you had to write it, fold it, stick it in an envelope, lick a stamp and put it on it, take it to the post office, give it to the mailman, and wait a few days. And if it didn't get lost in the mail, it might eventually get there. But today, you want to write a letter? Hit a button and it's there. Even the other side of the world. But we are an instant generation. We want everything right now. We want everything to happen suddenly, here and now. Faith does not produce a harvest like that always. So don't be discouraged. If we understand this parable, Jesus describing how the kingdom works, then we can survive the days when we think nothing is happening. Every day, something good is happening at God's hand for us. Every day. He's not wasting a day of our life. He's building and growing His word in us. Our faith is like that seed. It is getting greater and greater to the point that we will look at that huge mountain that we've been intimidated by and afraid of and didn't want to confront, and we'll be able to speak to it and tell it where to go. God, I'm about to have too much fun. Verse 31 says, the smallest of all becomes the greatest of all. That's the way it is with faith. It's a small thing when you get it, when it's planted, when that seed comes, when the word comes. You first hear the word of God concerning a matter. It may not be anything you'd want to catalog and reference in the future. You might think at first, but accept it. Accept God at His word. Appreciate the word, and your faith will grow. And it will grow larger than the mountain. The smallest of all becomes the greatest of all. That's the story Jesus told about a seed and a mountain. And He's explaining to His followers how faith works. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. The men and women.